And they went to the Fourth Ward building, Jefferson and 21st. They used to have the old Fourth Ward, it was only a couple of doors from the one on Madison. But they took it down and built a new one. And that's where they have it today. But what they didn't think of was parking lots. See, people used to walk all the time or something, but so they had to buy a house in the vicinity and get the lot for parking lots for that ward. But see, Dad had his recommend in that ward all the time. He didn't change. When they divided the wards and took us out of our family out of the fourth ward into the 13th ward, our recommends were changed, but not Dad's.
Oh, I see.
He just wanted to be, well, see, in the fourth ward, for I don't remember how many years, that he had been counselor to two bishops. One was a Woolley and the other was a Stratford. And he was one of the counselors, and I often wondered if it was because he had more than one family that they left it that way.
Now, is that the old Fourth Ward? Not the one that's on 24th and Jefferson now, but there was another Fourth Ward that was torn down, wasn't there?
Yes, two doors from 2149 Madison, going north, was the old Fourth Ward. Then we had the old Pikens who had the, was the janitor and another family, and then there's a little store on the corner. And across the street on 21st, down one house was McKay's, David O. McKay's home, while they lived in Ogden. They never say in any of his stories. It's all just Huntsville and Salt Lake. So I got tired of hearing it that way, and I thought authorities ought to be informed.
That's right.
Because in conference, we had one of the authorities up talking to us, and he said, well, you know, that's nice to have it, you know, talking about Huntsville. Well, he says, that's only a little ways from Ogden, so I guess you know. And that's what provoked me, because when I was 5 years old, I went to kindergarten with Llewellyn McKay, and he graduated from Weaver High School the same time I did. He was student body president. And they still lived on 21st and just below Madison on the north side of the street. But since they had sold it to other people, they have evidently made different apartments. So the porch here, another place here, they had them all boarded off. And so maybe they just didn't want a picture of it. But why did they say that? And in the meantime, David O. McKay was principal of Weaver Academy for a while. For how long, I don't know, but I know Marion that was going to school there at that time, and he thought quite a lot of her.
Now, David O. McKay spoke at Hiram Belknap's
funeral. Yes. He wasn't president then, but he was an apostle. Because when Llewellyn graduated from Weaver Normal College, is what we called it then, David O. McKay was called to be president of the European mission. He and his family went. When he came back, then he lived in Salt Lake till he died. But he still maintained his home. A smaller, they had the large home where he was born. Then they had a smaller one because they'd have to go in with wheelchairs and stuff. So it was a smaller place just across the street.
Anything else about the funeral that you can remember, Aunt Jewel, of Hiram's?
Well, they had Annie Bryan, wife of Douglas Bryan. They both sang. She was an English gal. But for Mother's funeral, we had Mary Fisher played the violin. I forgot now who played the organ. Was it? Anyway, they had an organ and violin solo on the song Going Home. And they played just the music. So Father said, what's the words to that? So we told him, because I bought a copy of it, and he said, sing that at my funeral, but I want the words. Going Home.
It's a beautiful song.
And somebody swiped it from me.
Oh.
Right from my own basement.
Really?
I had them sorted, you know, after I let the piano go. Had them sorted, and I had some baskets. I went down to get the baskets, and they were gone, which I used to carry stuff to the basement, because it had rubber handle on them. We used to use the wire baskets in the store, originally. And then if I could hold on to the railing and going down. And I had this bottles in the other, and they were empty, but the one that I had was sorting music in to find a certain song disappeared. So whoever took the baskets took a rag rug woven of wool, and I hope they tried to wash it in hot water.
So you didn't get rid of your music then till after I bought the piano from you then?
I never had any music in the basement. I had it all up here.
Yeah.
And since I didn't need the room up here, I just put it down there on the shelf. And then I went out and was sorting it to get the one a lady wanted to sing. I just left it there. And I didn't need it right away. It wasn't until I went to get the baskets that I found they were all three gone.
What do you remember about Arius being with your father when he passed away? Did Arius tell you afterwards what happened at all?
No. He just died quietly. But he stayed, and it was about 6 o'clock when Arius called us and said he was dead.
6 in the morning?
Yeah, 6 in the morning. And I don't know if she said this or not, but I'd come down from Idaho, and Gladys was staying with Dell at the time, or no, I guess they moved out. But anyway, the three of us was back at 2 o'clock in the morning, and we wanted to look through his desk. If we were like somebody else, we would have pursued it methodically. Anyway, we didn't have a key to it, but we found somebody else had used screwdrivers for something. So often, all he had to do was push it in, and it was open. Your dad, I guess, thought things, wheels and stuff were safe. Because of his going blind, he took them out of the bank.
Huh.
And I don't know if he wrote any checks afterwards, but he must have done, because anyway, Dad's estate paid for all the nurses and hospital, and because he didn't have insurance. Dad didn't believe in it. He said he could make more money than putting his money out on insurance.
Huh.
And he did, but not many people do it.
Yeah.
Even a little insurance is a big help nowadays.
Mm-hmm. So you said that you had...
So we were looking through the desk, and we saw Grandfather's journal, which I had... Well, Flora did the first copy, but Dad wanted me... 1930s, my mother was, to recopy his journal that he had written while he's at Fort Limhi, Idaho.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I want you to copy it exactly as my father wrote it. If you don't have a comma and a period in the right place, that's okay. Do it like he wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And spell like my father wrote it. And see, because Flora had rearranged some of, you know, to make it sounding more English grammar and stuff. But his words and the way he quoted things, I thought was kind of flowery at times.
Yeah.
If you remember when we were going through it up at your house, Joy, I was checking it to see if that's what Della had actually copied. And you was reading.
In the little red book.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was copied into the... So that story is printed exactly in the little red book as Grandfather wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted it. The only thing Dad had taken out before was a copy of Gilbert Belknap's description of first meeting Joseph Smith.
Oh, yeah.
And it's quite inspiring. He said that Joseph Smith just looked at him just like his eyes pierced all through him and could read him. It was quite interesting. But she arranged it to better English sense.
Hmm.
So he had it printed, had it in his bedroom for a while.
Hmm.